What's up, Lauren?
What's up, Sarah?
Well, round two. Here we go.
Here we go. We almost just record. Well, no, never mind. It's supposed to be at the beginning of the podcast.
We can say that. We're recording this after the podcast instead of before.
And we almost recorded over our podcast.
Yeah, that would be interesting. All right. Let's get into it. All right.
Roll the intro.
So we actually just recorded this and it wasn't on. Classic podcast failure.
Yeah, but we're here to give it a second try for our second podcast.
Yeah, this is the second one we're recording. I don't know when it'll come out, but... Woo! Okay. Anyway, so, so we're going to talk a little bit about, like, we labeled it societal expectations, but it's more, like, accurate to say, like, what a quarter-life crisis is and why, like, that's applicable to us and, like, what that's all about. So, yeah.
Yeah, since we titled it, like, societal expectations, it's kind of just because all the pressures and expectations of society that are impressed onto us kind of bring on that doubt and stress in our lives as young adults, and it kind of turns into, you know, what we call a quarter-life crisis. So the definition we have here is from Wikipedia, so... It's not, you know, the most reliable source, but it sounds good, so we're gonna go with it. It says, a quarter-life crisis is a period of life ranging from 20s to 30s in which a person begins to feel doubtful about their own lives due to stress associated with the transition to adulthood.
Yeah, so, that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, kind of. That.
Yeah.
That transition is difficult.
So some of the societal expectations or, like, the things that people just kind of feel a lot, I feel like, and I definitely relate to some of these, is, like, a stereotype of success can only be achieved through further education. So,
yeah.
Like, through going to school, going to...
Some secondary, like, after high school certificate or degree.
Yeah, like, going to college, whatever. Yeah, you know. And then... Also, like, you should know what your future is gonna, like, what you're gonna do in the future by the time you're 18, and you should not take a year off to figure that out. You should just go into college, or, like, you're wasting all this time, and you should just know. And kind of, like, my experience with that, I'll just kind of go on a tangent here, is when I was 18, when I was 17, I thought I was gonna be a veterinarian. I researched all of my colleges based off of that. And so, like, I applied for all of my colleges thinking I'm going into business, but looked for all my colleges based off going into veterinarian. So it's totally different. But, so by the time I was 18, I was like, oh, I'll probably do business. But then I got to college and I was like, do I want to do business? I don't know. And what in business do I want to do? And so it's changed a lot. It hasn't changed majors, but it's changed within business a lot.
Yeah. For me, I think I kind of uniquely knew what I wanted to do, but, like, just the fact that everybody thinks you should know what you want to do forever when you're in high school is just really insane, and I don't think that should be a pressure that people are putting on, like, the young people.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I don't know, it's just such a big decision to make, like, for the rest of your life, so.
Yeah, and I mean, if you think about it, like, I mean, I'm 20 now, but, like...
We could still change what we want to do.
Yeah, and, like, I'm probably not going to die until I'm, like, minimum 80. Like, if life goes well, minimum 80. And, like, I'm 20, so that's 60 years that I have. Like, I have time.
Yeah.
I have a lot of time. You know, and I don't really know what this world has, like, completely has to offer yet. So, like, I could change my mind, like, multiple more times, and I think that's okay.
Yeah.
But I think that was a hard realization for me to come to, and I didn't really come to that till I got to college, and I was like, okay, like, there's so much more to life than, like, what I've seen from where I've grown up, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
One of our other, like, expectations that society has is, like, if you choose not to go to college, then, like, maybe there's that pressure to try to prove yourself because you don't want to continue education. You still have to get a job and get involved in other things just to prove that you're not a bum.
Yeah.
And, but, yeah.
But obviously that's not true.
It's no, not like, no, it's not true. These are just, like, just the pressure, like, the pressure that we feel as, like, you know, the current young generation.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's, like, so many more expectations out there that are
yes.
put upon young people. But those are just a few that we came up with when we were thinking about it. More specifically, Lauren came up with. She was in charge of this podcast.
Oh, don't tell them that.
You did great. I like it.
But there's definitely that pressure to go to college, just for high schoolers. We have a few stats here. These are from the New York Times. 70% of high schoolers are going to college. But only 36% graduate in 4 years, so that means, like, the other 74%, like,
yeah.
take more than 4 years to graduate, and I think a lot of that is because, like, as a young adult going into college, you don't know what you want to do, but you feel the pressure to go into college right out of high school, and then you're changing your major multiple times because...
Yeah.
You went in with something you didn't know that you wanted to do, which is totally fine, but it's just that pressure that, like, oh, I need to go right out of high school, even though I may end up taking more years to finish, because, like, I'm not sure what I want to do.
Yeah. And, like,
so,
I mean, if you go right into college, like, college is so expensive. Like, if you're going to change your major and have to take, like, so many more years to graduate,
yeah.
like, that's a not a small thing.
Yeah.
So I can see why that graduation rate, like, just drops significantly.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, how much debt is too much debt, you know?
Yeah. And it's definitely okay to take more than 4 years to graduate, but...
Oh, yeah. I might do that.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
never know.
But it's because, like... Like, we don't know what we want to do, and, like, it has to continue to switch, since the expectation is to continue education right out of high school. Yeah.
And then another stat we got from the New York Times is that 60% end up changing universities, and that means that they're losing transfer credits, which... If you lose transfer credits, obviously, you're going to have to go to school for longer,
mm-hmm.
probably. So, that's just another little fun fact.
Yeah.
It's a fun, sad fact.
Yeah. A few more we have. These are from Forbes. And it says 31% of all college students drop out. And then 47% of community college students drop out. So that's, like, half of the community college population doesn't continue college, which is a really big percentage.
Yeah, that's wild. That's almost half.
Yeah.
3% away.
So all that kind of brings the total rate of completion to 57%. So
what causes a quarter-life crisis? What's going on with that?
So, basically, I kind of think that with, like, the older generations, their expectations are pressures with the future, like we just talked about earlier, with all the expectations of education and college. But then, like, from the younger generations, people our age, our peers, and, like, colleagues, other students, they, like, provide pressures with media, which is, like, a whole nother aspect of our lives, not just academically and educationally, but personally, because that's, like, we're all on social media in our personal time, and that's where we share our lives.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of pressure distributed from, like, all those types of medias.
Yeah.
It's a good question. I think, like, it's the worry that, like, the stigma, oh, if you take a year off, then you're never gonna go back to college.
Yeah.
Everybody says that. I was told that.
That's what I was told, too.
Yeah.
I really wanted to take a year off, but I wasn't allowed. Right. I was, yeah. It's fine.
Yeah. I think it's just, like, the worry and stigma of that. Parents, like, want their kids to just continue.
Yeah, so I think that they, obviously, your parents want, or your older, whoever, the older generation wants what is best for you. And, yeah. But it's kind of interesting, because, like, people say, like, graduate school is the new undergrad.
Yeah.
So, like, I wonder what, like, when I have kids, if I have kids, if that, like, will be, like, your PhD is your new
master's.
Like,
I that hope would not.
Suck for everyone.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. That's a lot.
Just with college getting so expensive, there's a whole nother field of people not going to college, weighing the like, pros and cons of, like, if college actually pays off money-wise.
Yeah, you do. I think if, like, you gotta really, like, look at your skills and, like, what you actually would be studying in college, and if you think you can just go out and do that, maybe give that a try.
Yeah.
And see if, like, you can make it without college. I mean, if you, like, want to go to college, like, I think I'm pretty passionate about education, so I think I'm in the right spot, but I think that a lot of people, like, can just go, and they're just super talented in what they do, or
yeah.
what to do, and can easily make it, or not easily, but, like, they put in the time, they can definitely make
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and I think the stigma around you have to go to college to be successful, like, isn't right all the time.
Yeah.
Because everyone's different. Like, for me, same, like, I wanted to continue my education, so that's why I'm here, but there are tons of people who find success without further education.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're the most successful.
That's so true.
And
look at YouTube. Yeah. Let's take YouTube as an example.
Yeah. But so I think that that's how the older generations kind of put that pressure on. But it's all with good intention, so.
Yeah, I think that younger, like, talking about the younger society and, like our age, I think there is a lot of pressure between everyone. Like, you're seeing your friends be, I think a lot of my friends from home in here are from, like, are, like, super talented and, like, are doing things that are so cool. And, like, you see that on social media. And you only see one side of that. You don't see all the work that they put in all the time. But, that kind of, like, drives me to, like, do more and be
yeah.
better. And
same.
I think that, so I think social media definitely, has, like, a part in that. And also, I mean, I think all my friends are doing, like, super cool things.
Mm-hmm.
With, like, they're all so talented. So, it's not, like, a bad thing either. I just, yeah, there is, like, pressure around that, and I could feel that.
Yeah. And I think, I think our generation is more impacted by, like, the so-called quarter-life crisis than previous generations because of that technology and that media. Just because how we see parts of everyone's lives, and we don't see the whole thing, but we see all the good parts.
Yeah.
Through, like, Instagram or Facebook, all the posts, they're always,
Yeah, I think also it's kind of like an older generation to be like, technology is the problem. But, like, I do agree. I think agree there's a lot of pressure in that. But also I think that like that's so cool that we have that tool because yeah. Like, for example, we started a podcast and like we're gonna get all our followers from social media basically in like some word of mouth, but like we can only do that so far.
Yeah.
So like really we're part of the pressure. But no, I think we are impacted. I think we're more aware of our quarter life crisis.
Yeah. We have a few more facts here. This says that more than 40% thought that social media added to their worries and stress, while more than half said it leaves them feeling more pressured to keep up with everyone. And this was just, like, a study. Let me see what...
In the UK?
Yeah. But they just did a study, and so half of them said that social media leaves them feeling more pressure to keep up with everyone, which I think is very true. Like, I feel that, just because social media is an outlet into other people's lives and what they're doing, and it definitely adds on to the pressure to, like, keep myself interesting, but, yeah, 40% said they feel as pressured to impress others, and 33% said they feel like they need to make their lives sound better than it really is. So that was kind of interesting, because I think a lot of people fall into that, that pressure with social media, with making all their posts look really fun and great, because you're not going to post something that's sad, but, then it comes with the comparison of trying to make yourself look like you're having more fun or doing more things than other people. And yeah. It kind of becomes that, like, media comparison competition.
I'm actually surprised that it's such a low percentage.
That's what I thought, too. But, I mean, there's people out there who feel the same way. I'm there.
Yeah, like, I mean, I would think that... Because when I post something on social media, it's like... the best part of my life, and obviously, and we, I don't know, I just, like,
I think more people feel that pressure.
Yeah, my life looks better on social media, I would say, than like, I have a good life, but I'm just saying, like, that's all the fun things.
Yeah, and I think it's like that for everyone.
Yeah.
Because there are times where you're sad and stressed and emotional, and you're not going to post a picture of that on Instagram. Yeah.
You might post a, wish I was here picture.
Yeah, wish I was back to the beach. Yeah. Take me back to the summer.
But I think, 33% is a very low percentage. I would guess that would be more.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But another way, like, the media kind of impacts that, like, life crisis pressure is, they found that, like, many of those people don't have someone they can approach with a problem. Like, even though we have a lot of friends on social media, there's, like, not always someone there to, like, really listen. So this says 68% found it difficult to share their problems in the first place. That can definitely lead you to some difficult times if you don't feel comfortable talking about your problems.
Yeah, and I think that's, like, it's really hard to, like, be vulnerable.
Yeah.
And, like, I struggle with that. Mm-hmm. but yeah, is that definitely, like, adds to it. And I think I personally have, like, seen the effects of that, like, on myself. Like, it's, if I don't talk about something, then, like, it's just gonna make me crazier. Mm-hmm. And, like, the quarter life crisis is just bubbling up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's very true.
And I think that, like, that statistic of, like, finding it difficult to share your problems in the first place could stem from that same pressure to make your life sound better than it really is that we were talking earlier.
Right.
Because if that's kind of what we're used to, then it's going to be difficult to, like, show that you're having a hard time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially with comparison, like, it might be harder to talk to someone that appears to be having, like, a really good time and a really good life. It might be harder to talk to them about,
yeah,
like, the parts in your life that are really hard if all you know is, like, oh, well, they're true. Not suffering through this like I am.
I think that one of my biggest pet peeves is, like, when people try to one-up each other. Mm-hmm. When you're, like, have you ever been in a conversation where you're just, like, you say one thing and then that person tries to just top you and you're like, wait, but I just wanted to tell you that this because, like, it was really cool. I wasn't trying to, like, brag. I was literally just trying to share my life.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. I think, oh, man, that just...
Yeah, like, oh, I did this. And then the other person, oh, cool, but, like, I did this.
Yeah.
And it's better.
I think that, like, goes into, like, I don't know, like, after that, if someone tries to just keep one-upping me, it's exhausting, so I'm not going to tell them anything else about my life because I don't want them to just, like, squash that.
Yeah.
And be like, well, I did this. And I'm like, okay, well, cool. I thought I was cool until you know? So I think I don't know.
Yeah, I totally get that.
Yeah. It's interesting. Anyway.
It is.
Sam tells all. Biggest pet peeve.
Yeah, I have one too. It kind of goes along with one of the things we have here. It says that more than half of the people in this study said that they felt fobbed off or ignored by someone. And I know, like, I've felt that, like, personally, just if I'm trying to share something personal with someone and they just sit there on their phone, I can see them scrolling through whatever feed they're on, and I'm trying to be vulnerable and share, but they're totally plugged in. And I don't know if that's just because it's uncomfortable for people to kind of sit there and listen to someone's problems, or if it's just because, like, they don't care as much as, you know, what they're looking at, but
I think that's,
I've definitely felt that.
That's interesting that you say maybe they don't care as much, because, like, yeah, I think, I don't know if people realize that that's what they're doing.
Yeah, like, true. It could just be, like, what we're used to.
Personally, that drives me crazy.
Yeah.
When I'm trying to talk to someone, and they're on their phone, and then they ask, oh, what did you say? And I'm like, man, just, like, pay attention to me. Like, I don't see you
I've
all
done
the time,
that. Yeah.
You know? And, like, I'm so, like, I do that a lot too. Like, I definitely am not, like, perfect in this, but, like, yeah, it's just... Like, really?
I think we've grown up kind of in this realm of technology. Like, we grew up during this time where things were peaking. And so, like, I think it could just be a second nature or natural for us to be on our phone, like, with the screen in our face. Like, still multitasking and listening. Like, maybe people don't even realize that they're on their phone while they're listening to the person next to them.
Yeah.
You know, until they're like, wait, what did you say? I'm sorry, I'll put my phone away. Now that I realized I actually wasn't listening to you.
Yeah. But so, multitasking is such a big thing for our generation,
yes,
too. Like,
I love to multitask.
I love multitasking,
let's get as many
too.
Things done at once. How efficient can I be?
I agree. I'm a huge fan of multitasking. In this case, phones and talking to people. Like, I... still put face-to-face time is, like, super valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everyone needs that. So, like, putting away your phone and just, like, face-to-face time. But I think, like, our generation is a generation of multitaskers.
Oh, yeah.
Like, whether that be, like... Yeah, whether that just be simply watching Netflix and doing homework.
Oh,
or, like, or, like... I don't know, like, I'll be cleaning the house, doing my laundry, doing my homework, like, all these things, like, on the phone with my mom, like, just, like, one after another, or all at once, like, it's a whole, like, I'm...
Yeah.
It's...
Completely.
Definitely our generation is like that.
Because, while all this does, like, kind of add on to, like, the pressures in our lives in some way, it would be really a lot harder to live without it.
Yeah.
Without... Google and Netflix.
Yeah.
Right there. So not to, like, hate on technology or anything, but...
But I think it's just... This plays into a quarter-life crisis, actually. I think when I feel like I'm at the peak of quarter-life crisis or whatever, like, feeling a lot of pressure, stress, I'll, like, ignore it by being on Netflix or, like, being on my phone. And then when I come out of that, like, when I put my phone down or, like, stop watching whatever I'm watching, I, like... come back to reality. I'm like, wow, I just, like, spent, like, so much time on this.
Yes.
And my that problem is still there.
It is, because when I don't want to deal with anything, I'll just, like, lay in bed and watch Netflix.
Yeah, and my brain doesn't have to think about it. Yeah. But then I'm, like, just ignoring the problem, and it's just going to become a bigger problem.
So, yeah. Yeah. Also, we're multitaskers, but also procrastinators.
Yeah, exactly.
Not just with homework, but with our problems.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
The six so, and 10.
We just have, like, one more fact that we found pretty interesting. So, they found that 6 in 10 respondents are more likely to battle on alone than go to anyone else if they have a problem or need advice. So, that can definitely contribute to a life crisis. Because, you know, if you don't feel like you can go to anyone, then you're just relying on yourself. And that just adds on even more pressure.
Yeah.
Not just the, like, outside problems, but then, like, an internal... like, dilemma.
Definitely.
So, if you don't have anyone that you can talk to, find that person.
Yeah. Everyone needs at least one person. Yeah, so, how's this, like... we've kind of been talking about how it applies to us, but, like, I don't know. Go more into it, Lauren.
So I guess how this applies to me, for me personally, it's a lot more with school. Like, just, I know I'm gonna have to get a master's eventually, and my program is really competitive, so I feel the pressure to be overly successful, like, to get into the program first time around applying. I have to have so many extracurriculars, and I'm in 2 research labs, leadership, have to get as many professors' recommendations as I can, and it just, it piles on, and even though it's, like, a couple years, 2 years in the future that I have to, you know, get my master's, I spend so much time now worrying about it, and worrying that I'm not doing enough, which I think a lot of our generation feels, especially, like, just worrying that you're not doing enough, whether that's college or not college. It's just, I think that is a huge pressure.
I would say
that.
I, like, struggle with that so much. Like, I'm like, I'm not doing enough. And I'm like, I can't do more.
Yeah.
Like, because then
everything.
Have time.
Everything wouldn't be good. Because you'd be spreading yourself so thin.
Yeah. And, like, I don't know, I'm just already doing a lot. And, like, my time is literally, like, spread thin already. So, like, for me to say I'm not doing enough, like, that's such an issue,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then with social media, a lot of those pressures just are from comparison. Like, comparison of they look better or they're doing more things.
Yeah.
And so that kind of puts the pressure on, like, the personal side of our lives. You know, just to still feel confident and not always be comparing our lives to one another's based on what we see, like, what's presented to us.
Just, like, even then, it's like, what can I do now to get ahead?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's like, oh, I just did a lot, but it's still not enough. Like,
yeah.
I have to look forward.
Yeah. And I kind of, like, I love being busy. I really enjoy it.
Busy bee.
Yeah. I really like doing a lot of things, and I'm interested in literally everything, which is probably probably my biggest problem, and why I, like, do so much is because I get excited over everything, and I just want to do everything. So,
There's just so many opportunities.
Yeah,
and it's I want that experience.
Yeah. But I need to learn to say no sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm learning. College has been great. It's one of the things I'm learning. Yeah, but I get excited. Yeah, what do you think our generation is gonna end up like if because we just are like constantly doing things. We have all these like all this pressure on us to like go to school or like know what we're doing. Like, you know, like 20 years from now, 30, 40 years from now, what do you think we're gonna look like?
I don't know. I feel like our generation is gonna be qualified to do like a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, we have Google.
Yeah.
The generation before us did not have Google. So I think that we have been able to learn a lot of things that, and like, yeah, I think information is just so easily available that we are able to learn faster. And like, okay, my cousin was telling me this the other day. Maybe she's listening to this right now. That's pretty cool. but she's telling me, we were talking about this, and she's like, on your resume, just put down that you know Excel. Put down that you know all these things. Because you can literally Google that information and figure it out. Like, it's not that hard to do. Where, like, the past generation would not be able to do that. They have to be, like, a master in Excel before they, you know.
That's true. We could probably learn how to use those programs a lot quicker, too.
Yeah.
And just having these, like, automatic search engines available for us. We have so much access to every, like, all the information there is.
If we need to know how to do something, we will know how to do it.
Yeah.
Watch a YouTube video.
Yeah. 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 That's definitely a handy skill. So I could see, like, our generation and, like, the world just progressing so much quicker because of how much information is available to us. Like, just to the general public.
Yeah. I agree. Man, I don't have much advice on how to avoid what is our podcast name? a quarter-life crisis, because I was going to say existential crisis?
Existential, yeah.
Existential crisis, but no, quarter-life crisis. Because I'm currently going through one, so I'm really just learning as we go. But it's been good so far. It's been interesting.
Also, the study that we talked about earlier was published by an online British newspaper. It's called The Independent, so you can check that out if you want, and we'll also have our other sources that we referenced posted on our social media, too.
Anyway,
I guess that's it for this one.
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys. If you have any comments, we would love to hear all of them. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We have an email.
Yeah. And those are all podcast.qlc, and our email is at gmail.com. Yeah. So send us any comments, questions, concerns, or even, like, topics if you want to hear us discuss something in particular.
If you're currently in your quarter-life crisis, we want to hear about what you're interested in. Yeah. And that could even be, that doesn't need to be, like, I don't know, that could be anything, like, political or not political, or like just whatever. Maybe you did something really cool this summer and you have a bunch of information on it. Like, that'd be dope.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Send us what you got.
Comment on our Instagram pictures. Let us know what you think. Yeah. Cool.
See you next week.
See you next week.